You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
He is the great I Am. His first friend was Abraham. Surely said to Abraham, I am that I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
That's almost as good as riding in cars with comedians, coffee in the cars with comedians. Move over, Jerry Seinfeld.
I don't know what kind of coffee they're drinking, but I know this morning we are drinking a very sweet coffee from Rwanda.
Rwanda.
It is a peaberry coffee, meaning that the coffee cherries usually have two seeds in them that turn into our coffee beans, but the peaberry only has one. And as a result of that, it has a different shape. It's more rounded on the ends, and it is much denser than a typical two-bean cherry. So there's a lot more flavor packed into that pea berry than just a conventional coffee bean. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're drinking this morning. What do you think?
Wonderful.
What do you think?
I like it. Matter of fact.
You know, coffee is the friendship drink.
Hold on.
What are you tasting? Tell me what
first of all, it's not bitter, which I really like because I don't like bitter. It seems to be smooth.
Very smooth. There's nothing but smoothness in this coffee.
Now, you got into all of this to open coffee shops to collect – your profit goes towards your missionary trips with your wife and children,
no,
right?
No. What happened was when our school project that was in – and we started in Honduras among refugees from Nicaragua
mm-hmm. –
Miskito Indian refugees and communities along the Rio Coco, which is why our business is called Rio Coco Cafe Rio Coco Beans.
Yeah. What are you laughing at?
Just the windblown hair look. It's a good look.
I forgot to put on my hair cook today. You know? I look bad.
No, you're okay. You're okay, Red.
It's bad enough being 72. You know, I don't need any more help in looking terrible.
So when the war ended and the refugees crossed the river, literally the Coco River is the border between Honduras and Nicaragua. And we thought when Violeta Chamorro was elected president in the election in 1990 that we would be going back to Maui and get on with our lives with the new Minister of Education, Umberto Belli, coerced us through his friends, Juan Pais is the guy that we met with down in Puerto Cabeza and convinced us that we needed to dismantle our schools on the Honduran side and rebuild them on the Nicaraguan side of the river and be the community school.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused us to go, wow, okay, this is now going to be a long-term project.
Do this or be shot?
Well, no. It was like he said, basically, our economy is so strapped. I mean, this is after the Sandinista Contra War. The country was in shambles and economy was destroyed by the Marxist government. I mean, they basically destroyed the economy of
Were you Nicaragua. Down there with your wife and four children?
My son, no. I didn't have any kids born at that point. But they came shortly thereafter. But so we ended up crossing the river. We rebuilt our schools. Eventually, we had 14 schools along the Nicaraguan side. You had an enrollment of about 1,600 kids.
You're kidding.
And
you and your wife did this?
Well, we had a lot of help. We had a lot of friends and
back
supporters.
In America. Yeah, I think I wrote a check to you long before I knew you.
Really?
Buddy Tipton's church, right?
Yeah.
They sponsored you. I remember getting the thing, and well, I don't know who this family is, but.
Well, thank you, Rhett.
It was very little amount. I'm sure it might have been $100 at best.
Well, what happened was a year or two went by, and we met Jim and Sarah Hornsby, who were the Americans that came to Nicaragua in the 70s and started Young Life Ministry, which is a very effective reaching out to high school students, starting Bible clubs. And they bought property high in the mountains above Matagalpa, which is the premier coffee-growing region of Nicaragua. Their camp is at over 5,000 feet, and they invited us to come up. And so we came up to visit them, and it was in July, and everyone's wearing long-sleeve shirts because it's cool We're living out on the Cocoa River.
It's sincerely as cool up on the mountaintops?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, it's 3.5 degrees per 1,000 feet is the standard temperature differentiation. So you go up 5,000 feet, you got almost 20 degrees difference. So if it's 90 degrees at the base of the mountain, it's 70 degrees at 5,200 feet. And so I was thinking, wow, what a place for missionaries to come. Well, I noticed they were growing coffee, and they used their coffee sales to fund kids coming to their camp. And so that gave Laura and I the idea of, well, we should get some of this Nicaraguan coffee and get it to the U.S. and get it roasted and make some money to pay our teachers. Because at that point, we had about 54 teachers that we were paying a couple hundred bucks a month. We had a big budget then. So in 2004, we started Rio Coco Beans as a for-profit business, a humanic business.
What's that mean, humanic?
Well, we wanted to come up with a word to define our coffee. Our coffee was high altitude. That's a very important criteria when it comes to coffee, because above 4,000 feet in the tropics, because of the cooler temperatures, the growing season is a month or two longer than just coffee at lower altitude.
That gives an ability for it to put what into the seed?
It makes the seed denser. There's more fats and protein in the seed. So there's even a classification in coffee culture, strictly high grown, SHG. You'll see that
really?
On the bags.
Strictly high grown?
And then the beans are much denser, so you have a lot more to work with. I mean, literally, I have a friend Nicaragua that runs a farm called Selva Negra, and his farm is at about maybe 2,500, 3,000 feet. But I can take a handful of his coffee, and I can take a handful of coffee from the Young Life farm, the Vita Hoven.
Yeah.
And the Vita Hoven coffee is noticeably much heavier because it's a denser bean.
I think on the packaging of Cup of Friendship, you should have that. Not the what is it called?
SHG, strictly high grown.
Don't presume people know that. I would put. I would.
We'll have enough.
Even me as a nobody, and if I saw it up there, said, "What does it say? What's the wording?"
SHG, strictly high grown.
Strictly high grown. If I saw that on the top of a bag of coffee, I would go, "Oh, obviously that means something, and it means this is better. I think I want to buy this, even if it's a few cents more."
Well,
that's what I would think.
Right. So the other criteria is the coffee hand-picked?
Strictly high-grown.
Or is it a machine that goes through the
field? Oh, strictly high-grown, hand-picked.
Right.
And is it all that?
Well, what happens to a coffee plant, it starts off as a flower that turns into a green fruit. And as the fruit ripens, it turns yellow and then turns red. And when it's red, the pulp is very sweet. And so if you only pick the red cherries, and they're about the size of the end of your finger.
Yeah.
And the pulp is very sweet, and it's loaded with antioxidants, very nutritious. So if you...
Seriously. We're drinking a nutritional drink.
Oh, this is one of the best things you can put in your body.
So you may live longer by supporting the ministry by buying a Cup of Friendship.
A study was just done by a couple universities in England, and I think in Germany. They did a very serious study of thousands of people. If you drink 2 cups of coffee or more before noontime, your chances of dying that day are 70% less than someone
who
doesn't. They just did this survey.
Oh, my word.
So you drink 2 cups of coffee or more in the morning before noon, your chances of dying that day are 70% less than a person who doesn't.
Of course, but your chances of dying after 8 p.m., of course, are increased by 50%. I'm only kidding. All right, let's get down to our show here.
So anyway, the point is high-altitude coffee, hand-picked.
This is great. That should be in small print right on top, right up at above the logo.
Don't worry. Okay.
Because I like that. And don't presume people know.
All of our coffee is
strictly high-grown.
Hand-picked.
Strictly high. What? Strictly?
High-grown.
Strictly SHG. High-grown.
So that's what our... High-altitude. The quality of
I think you should say strictly high-altitude.
Well, we'll get it to where it's...
Because high-grown means, man, they get out and they smoke some pot and then you pick it, when they're high. Strictly high. Sorry. This is where the...
That's...
It was back in 1969.
Let's get back on the road here, okay?
He loves that bell, folks.
So it's a polite way to get back on the track.
Okay. Now, our show is called Cup of Friendship. And Michael, by the way, is a biblical scholar, went to Europe to study history.
I did study history.
You've been to Israel about 273 times.
I've lived there at least 273 days, at least.
Yeah, you lived there for a while. How many years did you live there?
Well, just over between 1997 and 2023, probably.
Wow.
Probably 12, 13, 14 months scattered over.
That's
that
great.
Time.
All right. Now, what are we going to discuss today?
Well, we have had some conversations about the Great Commission.
The Great Commission.
And
go ye into all the world, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ.
No, that's not quite how it goes, Rhett.
That's Rhett's version.
The Great Commission is, this is recorded in Matthew chapter 28. It's one of the last things that Matthew records that Jesus said to his disciples.
Which was?
And just think about it for a moment. The last things that you say to a friend, like you're at the airport and your family's dropping you off, you got one moment to say something.
By the way, I'll never say this again, but I love you. Bye.
So last things are very significant.
Yes.
Last things that are spoken.
Well, they say that when you're giving a speech, the first thing you say is important and the last thing you say is very important.
Okay. Well, Jesus said, as Matthew records, and I'm sure he said some other things because we know Luke records some and we know in the book of Acts he records some, but Matthew thinks it's important that we know that Jesus finishes his ministry by saying this: all authority has been given to me on heaven, in heaven and on earth. Now, this is a guy that was just crucified, who claimed to be God in the flesh, and proved that he was God in the flesh. By 3 days later, he's out of his tomb.
Now, this is after the resurrection.
Right.
But he said, all authority has been given me, which means the devil is no longer the authoritarian on this earth, which a lot of Christians think he is.
Well, Jesus makes a reference to a temporary condition where...
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Christ in us tonight, and our desire is to be like him. Come on, boy.